The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, not only is today Palm Sunday, the celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, it is also here at Zion, Confirmation Sunday. For our confirmands, today and Monday, Thursday, is the culmination of 2 years' worth of study, 2 years of learning the basics of Christian teaching and Lutheran doctrine. It is the final piece of a public profession of faith before receiving the sacrament of the altar. All members of the Missouri Synod have undertaken a period of instruction before they approach the altar of our Lord, so that they come to confess that the sacrament of the altar is not just bread and wine. It is Christ's true body and blood in with and under the bread and wine that is given to us Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith and as a public profession of the faith we confess and adhere to, the faith which is confessed here in this house of worship. This coming Holy Thursday, we will all approach the altar of our Lord and hold out our hands and receive in our hands the divine mystery that is the Son of Mary and the Son of God. The doctrine of the real presence, Christ is truly in with and under the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar. That doctrine is the very reason that you and I can sing the Nunc Dimittis, the same words that Simeon sang when he held the infant Jesus in his hands. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." As Simeon held Jesus in his hands, we too hold Jesus in our hands through the sacrament of the altar. In fact, the Greeks in our text and we ourselves are the Gentiles that Simeon spoke of. Remember, he said, "A light to lighten the Gentiles." You and I and modern Christians, all post-resurrection Christians who are not Jewish, are the Gentiles. The Gentiles of our text, though, these Greek men, asked that they might see Jesus. And their asking was not like someone asking to see a sports icon or a music star. Their asking is the awakening desire of faith, to see in Jesus not just a great teacher, but to see in Jesus the Savior of the world. And if Jesus is the Savior of the world, then he is their Savior also. And that's exactly what we do here. That's exactly what we ask each and every one of our pastors to do in our confirmation vows and what our confirmands today will be now speaking and asking. They're asking this one simple, very simple thing. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. In your baptism, the triune God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are made children and heirs of eternal salvation. Through baptism, you both received and confessed faith in the triune God. Through confirmation, we publicly confess this baptism and the baptismal vows before the people of our own congregation. We state that we wish to see Jesus. It's a statement and it's a plea all at the exact same time. Here in this holy house, we desire to always be pointed through Jesus. You know, it's often in a confirmation class when we're discussing the architecture of the building and the architecture of the church itself proper here where we're at. Somebody ought to at a very minimum, if they look at this building and they see the brass cross on the roof, they come in the lobby, there's a cross with Jesus hanging on it, there's a cross here, there's a crucifix on the altar. Somebody not knowing anything about what this place is should walk into here and be able to say, I don't know much about these folks, but that man on the cross must mean an awful lot to them. And that would be true. The man on the cross means an awful lot to us. And we have taken our own confirmation vows, and in them we have said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. We said that to our parents when we were 12 or 13 years old. Mom and Dad, when I sin, and I know it, remember always to point me to Jesus and remind me of forgiveness. And Mom and Dad, when I get a little too big for my britches and I feel my own strength, point me to Jesus, who was obedient to his parents. And when all seems to be falling, or when all is going good, please always point me and remind me of Jesus. And when we took our confirmation vows, when we stood on that day, we were also speaking to our pastors. Pastor, I wish to see Jesus. Pastor, when I stand here at this altar and I take my wedding vows, please remind me of divine love and point me to Jesus. And when I return to this place and I return to these walls and I stand here crying as I place my parents in their eternal resting place in the sure and certain confidence of the resurrection of the dead, then, Pastor, point me to Jesus. Let me see Jesus. Point me to the very same Jesus who hangs on the cross for me this very day. Jesus' work on the cross is so important to the Christian. Yeah, it's true. Jesus in his human nature did not relish the thought of suffering and being crucified. As a true man, his human nature pulled back from the horror and the terror of what he was about to endure and to suffer, and it recoiled at the dread of death. Jesus will hang on the cross as the greatest sinner of all time. He will bear in his flesh the sins of the entire world, the sinless one in the sinner's place. Should he ask to be exempt from that mission? Father, save me from this hour. Should he plead that this ordeal be lifted off of his shoulders? The answer to that is, of course, is a resounding no. Jesus did not set his will against the will of his heavenly Father. Jesus knew that it was for the sake of the crucifixion to be lifted up from the earth upon the cross. That was the reason he came. He is here to defeat the one who once by a tree overcame. So his lifting up on the tree of the cross defeats the devil, Satan, our greatest adversary, who by a tree once overcame. To be lifted up on the cross was integral to Jesus' life's work. Without his death on the cross, all that he had done up to this point would be fruitless and without a point. And now, though, Jesus will be lifted up. He will hang on the cross between heaven and earth. And one question simply remains. And that question was asked of you in your confirmation vows. And if you have not taken them yet, it will be asked of you someday in your confirmation vows. And it will be reminded of us today. Will we stand by Christ, the Redeemer of our souls? Or will we stand with Satan, the destroyer of our souls? Will we listen to Jesus' call from the cross? Will we listen to Jesus calling us to Himself? Will our hearts, though, harden against that call? Which one will it be? Time will tell. You have all faced the pull and the tug, and you face that for your entire life. Your old Adam wrestling with your new Adam. Satan wrestling with Christ. You know what it feels like. You've been there. You've had the opportunity to deny your Lord. You've had the opportunity to proclaim your Lord. You have faced that pull and that tug for your whole life. And our new confirmands, those who will take their vows in second service, they too will feel it for their whole life. Will you confess Christ? Or will you love and desire the praise of people more than that? It is our prayer that we will remain faithful to Jesus. But for now, let us look upon the cross. Let us look upon that ladder that is between heaven and earth and see there Jesus, who makes it possible for all humanity to be drawn to Himself. In Jesus, our redemption is complete. Our reconciliation with God the Father is assured. All is in Christ and in Christ alone. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. It's not just a simple request by some ancient Greek men who wanted to meet Jesus of Nazareth. We would like to see Jesus is our request from our clergy, our request from our church. Every time we come here, every time we arrive, burdened by our own sin, beset with our own griefs, or abounding in joy, we pray that our request ever be, Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.